is your time to be blessed, and for your faithfulness, it's your time. You've been faithful. You held on, and you were strong, and for your faithfulness, it's your time. You encouraged everyone else when you needed it for yourself, and I want you to know that for your faithfulness, it's your time. You waited and waited.
You have waited
for so long.
For so long.
But you held on.
You held on.
You were strong.
You were strong.
And for your faithfulness.
This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I call your attention to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the reading begins at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Perfect principles for imperfect people. Perfect principles for imperfect people. Our topic for today. In Romans chapter 12, the Lord lays out for us, through the writer of this book, believed to be the Apostle Paul, principles that if all men everywhere followed them, what a wonderful world it would be. If all men everywhere followed these principles. Therefore, it is easy to deduce that the problems of man are caused by man. The problems of man are caused by man. God has given the principles. And this has been true from the very beginning. God did not establish a garden in Eden that was full of imperfect human beings. He established perfection in terms of life. They had life that would not end. But man caused his own problems because he rebelled against God. And these many, many thousands of years later, The exact same thing is going on. The problems of man are caused by man. There is no such thing as an angry God pursuing a helpless people, trying to get them to sin or trying to trip them up. That is not the case. Our God is loving. He is kind. He is of great kindness. He is plenteous in mercy. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is forgiving. And yet he himself is perfect, and his perfection demands judgment against that which goes against him. And so those who blame God for the ills of planet Earth are way off base. God gave choices, and man chose wrongly. It was so then, and it is so now. God gives choices, and many men choose wrongly. Many women choose wrongly. When a man chooses wrongly, as it respects the word, the principles, the commandments of God, he sets himself up for horrible, horrible, horrible futures. There are those of you who have chosen wrongly. You have chosen to choose wrongly. You had choices. As a matter of fact, there are those of you who have a very strong Christian background. But since becoming adult, you have chosen otherwise. And your life has not been the best it could be, and it can never be the best as long as you choose contrary to the best. The Lord has laid down perfect principles for imperfect people. But not only did he lay down perfect principles for imperfect people, he also gave a perfect Savior to whom the imperfect person may go and receive forgiveness and restoration and life eternal. So God has given the principles, he's given the Savior. And the way we use our time and our resources, for the most part, is up to us. So if you are still in the state of rebellion against God, if you are in a state of rebellion against the Word of God, you have chosen that. Yes, you may have had help. Satan may have helped you very much, but yet the choice was yours. But what is rebellion against God, Reverend? Reverend, you say I'm rebelling against God. What is rebellion against God? Well, my friend, you would need to read the Holy Bible. But let's take a look at a few of the factors that represent rebellion against God. Let's take what God says do and look at the contrary part. I think you'll be able to easily see that you are rebellion. You are in rebellion against God, and that is sin. And you may be on your way to hell. So let's look then at Romans chapter 12. The man of God writing under the unction and power and at the instruction of the Holy Ghost begs people. He says, I beseech you. That word beseech means beg. God is begging you, in so many words, to do the right thing so that it will be well with you. God is humbling himself to the state of saying, I beseech you, I'm calling you to this. I'm asking you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. In saying brethren, Paul addresses his audience on the level of brothers, though he's speaking the word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. There are those who would say, well, This is a man begging, not God, and I won't argue that. I will say that if a man is begging, he's using God's word to beg. God is approving his begging. God, he's not begging against the will of God. He is begging within the will of God, and he's using to beg the word of God. So let's agree on that point. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is assumed that Paul is talking to people who already are saved. But he says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If you are not doing that, then you are missing the mark. You are in some rebellion against God. But we are told that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That we are to be holy. If you're not holy, you're missing the mark. Because we are called to be holy. Acceptable unto God. If what you're doing is not acceptable unto God, you're missing the mark. That is a degree of rebellion against God. Which is your reasonable service. If we are not doing these things, we are missing the mark in the area of our reasonable service, or as some have said, our Christian service. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. If you are conformed to this world, doing what they are doing and following them and appropriating their philosophy against the word of God, then you are missing the mark. Then you are in rebellion against God because you are esteeming the philosophy of the world greater than the word of God. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. Even though we show ourselves to be imperfect, God calls us to a maturity, to a perfection in him, and he's able to provide that if we're willing to let him. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the word of God says, be not conformed to this world. If you are conformed to this world, you're in rebellion against God, you're in sin. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you are not transformed from the philosophies of this world by the renewing of your mind, you are in rebellion against God because the command says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It goes on to say that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you are not doing that, then you are in rebellion against God because you are not proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul goes on to say, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you are lifted up in your heart and in your mind, you set yourself up for a great fall. Because God resisteth the proud. The Bible says that with specificity. The Bible says God resisteth the proud. If you're proud, if you think of yourself more highly than you ought, if you think you are better than somebody else is, you're in rebellion against God. For Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You think God has done so much for you and has left everybody else down in the lower parts with nothing? No, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. You are part of something. You do not stand alone, though you may think you stand alone. You may have appropriated the millions or the billions, and you may think you're riding high. God has you in His view. He knows what you're doing. He knows how many people are starving every day. He knows how many people you've ripped off, if you have ripped them off. He knows all about it. Some are saying, well, He hasn't done anything about it. God has eternity to deal with you, but you don't have eternity to deal with Him. That isn't, He's not going to wait until eternity. But He doesn't have to get in a hurry to bring His judgment down on you. As a matter of fact, He's a kind and gracious God. Sometimes He'll just sit back and let you do what you're doing, giving you more time. Then you still criticize Him and say He's not God, or say God is not true, or God is not fair. Why would God do this and why would God do that while you are speaking the very words? The grace of God is allowing you to exist, very much like we see in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel, by the power and grace of God, told him that he had been lifted up, that Nebuchadnezzar had been lifted up in his heart. He told him to break off his sin, and maybe God would have mercy on him. In so many words, break off your sin. Maybe God will, because the dream was a horrible dream, a dream which said that Nebuchadnezzar would spend 7 years with the heart of a beast. 7 years would pass over him. His head would be dew, I believe, would be wet with dew. He would be wet with the dew. He would be out. They would, in the dream, as Daniel interpreted, he told him, they're going to drive you from man. But at the end of it, the interpretation, Daniel preaches to Nebuchadnezzar and said, now break off your evil, your sin. In so many words, he says that. Daniel extends to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, a chance to avoid, hopefully avoid, and maybe God won't let this come, if you will stop sinning. A whole year passed, and a year later, Nebuchadnezzar was walking his heart proud, and he was speaking proud words, and while the words were in his mouth, the dream fulfillment began. While the very words, he had a whole year. He had a whole year. But no, a year later, having been told very plainly by the man of God, by Daniel, what would happen, and having been encouraged to stop sinning and appeal to God, a year later, here he is speaking proudly about how great his kingdom is and how great he is. And the thing came to pass. The dream came to pass. There are those of you who have heard of the preachers. You've heard me. And you know that God's word says that you ought to humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. But you haven't done that because you don't really believe God is real. Apparently, Nebuchadnezzar didn't really believe it in his heart. But a year later, the thing came to pass. So you may be big and rich and your bank now, because the government has given banks so much money now, and you are a banker and you are building bank locations all over your state and all over the nation and perhaps all over the world, because you have all the liquidity that the government gave you to lend to others. You think you are something, but God has you in view. God has you in view. God has you in view. He sees your heart, and he doesn't have to be in a hurry, because your breath comes from him. Your heartbeat comes from him. He doesn't have to worry. I don't think he's amused at your having turned against him, but he's giving you chances. He is giving you more chances. Nebuchadnezzar had another 12 months, and he apparently refused to use them to his good. And so the prophecy came to pass. God sees you. God sees you. His principles have been laid down. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. How wonderful the world would be if everybody went by these perfect principles that God has laid down. Paul goes on saying, so we, being many, or one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. If you are laughing, even in unreal situations, at that which is evil, you're in rebellion against God. If you're watching people on TV doing evil things and you're laughing at it, you're in rebellion against God, even though what you're seeing is a figment of a man's imagination or a woman's imagination or a men and women's imagination, yet you're in rebellion because God commands you to abhor. Abhor that which is evil and to cleave to that which is good. So your little entertainment that you think is funny, if it's evil, you're in rebellion against God. And you're saying, oh, Reverend, it's just a sitcom. It's funny. It's funny to you. But it's not funny to God. And it is rebellion against God when you agree. By agreeing, you become a partaker. You are part of it. Oh, it's just a figment of someone's imagination. It may be, but now it's a part of your spirit. It's a part of your spirit because you laughed at it. You did not abhor it. You laughed at it. You laughed at it. You thought it was funny, and God commanded you to abhor that which is evil and to cleave to that which is good. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. God knows you are imperfect, but yet he has made a way for you to have a maturity in him, in Jesus Christ, his Son, my Savior. Now you've chosen to follow Satan and to laugh at evil rather than to abhor it. You've chosen to not cleave to that which is good. You've chosen. Because as far as you, as far as you're concerned, God doesn't know what he's talking about. As far as you're concerned, there may not even be a God. As far as you're concerned, in your mind, you have convinced yourself or have been convinced that maybe there is no God. So you're in rebellion. And if you think there's no God, you're in full rebellion against God. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people, how beautiful this world would be. Everybody just did what God said to do. How beautiful this world would be. Everybody just did what God said to do. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 12. The Lord says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serve the Lord. Some of you don't serve the Lord. Some of you serve your mama. Some of you serve your daddy. Some of you serve your wife. Some of you serve your husband. Some of you serve your boss. Some of you serve your political organization. Some of you serve your Masonic organization. Some of you serve your fraternal organization. Some of you serve your sororities. Some of you serve somebody else. But Reverend, we're supposed to serve after God. Thou shalt have no other God. You shall have no God before God. I serve God before I serve myself. I serve God before I serve my wife. I serve God before I serve my daddy, And when my mother was living, I served God before I served my mother. And I make no excuse, absolutely none, for serving God first. For none of those named above can keep me alive, and none of them have a heaven that they can put me in, and none of them can keep me from hell except by the word of God, which if I will heed, then I am able to escape that dastardly and tragic end. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Some of you do not rejoice in the hope of the Lord. In tribulation, some of you just can't take it. You just won't let the Lord bring you through. You're going to find your own way. For some men, it's another woman. For some women, it's another man. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's drugs. But for you, God is not enough. Woe unto him for whom God is not enough. Woe unto her for whom God is not enough. Woe unto him for whom God is not enough. Woe unto her. Where is that, Reverend? I'm taking a number of scriptures and putting them together and distilling from those scriptures, woe unto you for whom God is not enough. Rejoicing in hope, you're commanded to do. You're commanded to be patient in tribulation. I know people who are going to make something happen, even if God doesn't want it to happen. They're going to make it. And they don't care what they've got to do. They don't have the faith to wait on the Lord. They haven't heard the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, whether the word wait means to wait on like a waiter in a restaurant or to wait on like just stand right here till the Lord says move. But Isaiah said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm talking about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. It said, if then thing, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. That's what Daniel tried to tell King Nebuchadnezzar, but he would not listen. And 12 months later, the tragic prophecy of Daniel, as had been seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, came to fulfillment, came to fruition. But God told Solomon, things go wrong because you've sinned, in so many words. God summed it up. And if I get against you because you've sinned, as God said in so many words, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And God went on with that most precious promise. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Nebuchadnezzar, after having been warned by Daniel, should have gone to that place. What's that place, Reverend? The holy place. Should have gone into the house of God. Solomon, you see, was dedicating the great temple of God. And God talks about the sanctuary. God talks about the holy place. God is speaking of the house of God when he says, now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now mine eyes shall be opened. Where did he say that, Reverend? Right after he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You all need to go to church. Nebuchadnezzar needed to go to church. As soon as Daniel had finished speaking the word, Nebuchadnezzar should have gone into the holy place and fallen down on his knees and said, Father God, I have sinned. Almighty God, I've sinned. 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 Daniel no doubt knew that God had told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Some of you haven't been to church in years. Some of you haven't been to church in years. Some of you perhaps have not been to church in decades. But I come to testify in this service that God told Solomon concerning the holy place, now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I'm standing in my pulpit right now. I'm standing in the holy place right now. I believe God's eyes are open and his ears attent to the prayer that you make right now. You need to pray to God right now and say, Father God, have mercy. Say, Lord God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. My heart has been hard. I've done my own thing. I have lifted myself against you. I have been in rebellion and am in rebellion, but I come to you. Don't let what happened to Nebuchadnezzar happen to me. I'm repenting right now. God, have mercy on me. 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 Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Going back now to the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 13, we are commanded to distribute to the necessity of saints, to be given to hospitality. If you're not doing that, you are in rebellion against God. We're commanded to bless them which persecute us. We are commanded to bless and curse not. If you're not doing that, you're in rebellion against God. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. Perfect principles for imperfect people. But Jesus is the equalizer. He's the one that gets us where we need to be. Jesus, that's why he is indispensable. There is no other way to do this except through Jesus Christ. Israel proved that they had the law of Moses. They were principles for imperfect people, and how imperfect the people proved to be. But Jesus has the power. He has the ability. He has the authority. And he is able to indwell us and be the equalizing factor for us. Thus, God can say to us, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And when you say, I can't do that, Father, you are saying that Jesus can't do it. You are saying that you are not willing to trust Jesus to get you to this level of life. God says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. He would not command you to do something that you cannot do. He has made the means, the way available. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's what we keep telling you, my friend. That's why Jesus is indispensable. In your mind, your heart, you feel truly that you cannot do it, which is further indication that you don't believe that God can do it. You don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You don't believe that Jesus is God. You are in rebellion against God. Nebuchadnezzar was in rebellion against God. You are in rebellion against God. God says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. If you don't do this, you're in rebellion against God. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Not doing this, you're in rebellion. Some would argue, well, Reverend, but now this is written to brethren. This is written to Christians. So, you know, we're saved. It doesn't matter what we do. We're going to heaven. I won't argue that, brother, Reverend, brother, doctor, seminary professor. I won't argue that. But I will say the Lord said, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The Lord said do that. And I don't believe that we can please the Lord and go against his word. I don't believe we can please the Lord and go against his word. Lord says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You say, oh, I got to get them back. I got to recompense. You're in rebellion against God. Well, it doesn't matter, Reverend. I'm a Christian. I can do what I want to do. Okay, so then you're a Christian. And so even though God said don't do it, because you're a Christian and because you believe in eternal security, and because you believe that there's no way in the world for you to be lost because you're a Christian, you believe that it's all right for you to recompense to men evil for evil, that if they do you evil, you can do them evil, that it's all right. You believe in tat for tat, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Is that what you believe in? Even though God says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I won't get into theology with you, but Reverend Dr. Seminary Professor, if you want to contend that we can disobey God and it's all right, I'll leave you to argue that with God. I won't argue with God, but I will tell you, God said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord says, avenge not yourself. Avenge not yourselves. This is to Christians. God has a contract with you. The contract says, if someone does you wrong, I will get them. God will get them. If someone does me wrong, God will get them. I have seen God do it time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. I have seen God do it. I have a contract with God. When people do me wrong, God gets them back. My contract with God, and God says in the contract I have with him, the holy contract of salvation, God says, avenge not yourself, Clarence, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What does it mean that vengeance is mine? It means that God owns vengeance. When I get revenge, I steal what is his. I deny him the opportunity to avenge me. God says he owns vengeance. What happens when you take something that somebody else owns? You steal it from them. You cheat them out of its use and its possession because you've grabbed it and run with it. The Bible says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. And some husbands say, yeah, I caught this guy with my wife, and I'm going to kill him, so help me God. And you're going to be in jail for the rest of your life, not only because it's wrong, not only because the law says so, but because now a lot of the judges are women, and they're going to make sure you're in jail for as long as you breathe on planet Earth. You better let God handle it. You mean I caught him and my wife together? I ain't going to have it. Let me tell you something, man. You mean to tell me that you're going to give up all your freedom and all the opportunities to live for God because your ungodly wife and her ungodly partner are out there doing ungodly stuff which Satan told them to do to trip you up and take away your freedom in the first place? Don't you know that's the devil? Don't you know fornication is the devil? Don't you know adultery is the devil? Yeah, but Reverend, she's my wife. She told me that she'd be true, and she was a liar, and she's a liar because she lied because you caught her doing it. And now what are you going to do? God says, avenge not yourself. You let God handle it. Well, I'll look like I'm a weakling. What you going to look like wearing prison garb with them homosexuating over you for the rest of your life? You'll probably die in prison. It's a miserable existence. God told you he owns vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He owns it. So not only are you going to go out and do something to get you in trouble, but you're going to steal from Almighty God. He owns vengeance. I don't know if I can trust the Lord. Well, that's your problem. You don't have faith. And that's why so many people get into trouble. They don't have faith to believe that God can handle it. I have said to God many times, handle it, Lord. Whatever it has been, Lord, handle it. And I go on my way doing his business. Lord, you handle that. As a matter of fact, my brother, I refuse to have a problem that's not God's problem. I refuse to have one single problem that's not God's problem. Now, that's not God, not that God is running around being my little slave. I do everything I believe that God would have me do. I'm a hard worker. I am one of the hardest workers on the planet. Not because I'm trying to work myself into heaven, but because I have a part. But I refuse to have a problem that's not God's problem. And people have asked me time and time again, well, what you going to do about this or do about that? You know what I said to them? That's God's problem. Ain't my problem. This is my reverend. It's God's problem. Now, I'm going to do everything that God wants me to do. But at that point, when I reach the point of having done everything he wants me to do, then I leave it into his hands. Well, they did this to you, Reverend, and they did that, and that's not right, Reverend. And if you take that, then they'll do something else. Don't you know, my friend, that they can't breathe one breath without God saying, okay? That their hearts can't beat one beat, no matter what they do in the hospitals, in the greatest hospitals on planet Earth. If God says, heart, stop beating, not only will that heart stop beating, but every heart over them with masks on, trying to keep them alive, he can stop them from beating. And he can stop the mechanical thing from operating. He can turn the power off. As a matter of fact, he can just will it and the whole hospital will disappear. I'm talking about a God who has power. I'm talking about a God who doesn't play. I'm talking about a God who says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is God's. I've seen God do things. If I told you what I've seen God himself do, I mean from heaven. I don't go out and hurt anybody. But I've seen God from heaven do things that if I told you to people who've done things to me, you would gasp. And you would say, I don't believe it. That's why you can't always run and, you know, everything that happens, you know, you're so upset about it. Sometimes God's vengeance is operating. God has a contract with Christians, and he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. If they do you wrong, let me handle it, Clarence. I'll pay. Well, Paige, but, you know, you've sued people, and you'll sue people. Why don't you do that? Well, there have been many times that we could have sued people. I watched a nurse in a hospital give my mother a medication that killed her in 10 minutes. I watched a nurse. I told her not to do it. I told her not to give that medication to my mother. I wish now I had grabbed her, but I did not. And she gave that medication to my mother, and then 10 minutes, my mother was dead. We could have sued them, but the Spirit of God just didn't bring us to that point. We could have sued them. Even the doctors came, the hospital people came and apologized, some of them. We could have still sued them. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I can't do that, Reverend, and then you're in rebellion against God. You don't really have the faith you ought to have. You are in rebellion against God because God says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I've experienced this many times. I've experienced people who I knew had sought to trip me up and destroy things about me. I mean, I had empirical evidence. Things happen to them and they run to me for prayer. So what do I pray? I pray earnestly to God for them, on their behalf. You mean you pray for your enemies? My friend, God knows what he's talking about. These are people who are in the first place who are not in contact with God. And when they come to a preacher, they're trying to get in contact with God. And though they're my staunch enemies, and I have empirical proof from other people who have witnessed it, and I've witnessed things that they've done, but when they come to me as a minister, I must pray for them. I must ask God to have mercy on them. I've done it many times, many times. And some of them, as soon as they are stronger, they're out doing the exact same thing. I mean, I have empirical evidence of that. And I know while I'm praying for them that as soon as the Lord does for them what they've asked me to have him do, they're going to go out and start doing the same thing they've been doing concerning opposing me. But because they've come to a man of God, it is not vengeance time. After all, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Thus he says here, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. Romans chapter 12 ends with verse 21 in this section, which says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." God even gives you a reason, and yet you're going to go do the evil because you're bad and you got to get it done, and so they ain't going to do this to me. I have seen God do things that I don't even tell people anymore, because number one, they would say I'm crazy, because they don't believe God would do it. They don't believe God in the first place. And there are those of you out there who are Christians who know I'm telling you the truth. You've seen God do things that if you were to relate them to this ungodly generation, they would call the psychiatrist right away. And you know they would talk about you, even if they didn't do that. As soon as you left the room, they would laugh and say, "That's a nutcase. He's off his rocker. He's not in contact with reality." Do you believe this? Listen, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? That's what they do, my friend. That's what they say about us when we try to share with them that the Lord did such and such. They call us a nutcase. They say we're off our rocker. And they just take us as being someone that they can't trust. But some of you are close enough to God that you've seen God do wonderful things. You just said to God, "Handle it, Lord. Handle it." You see, they don't believe that. They don't believe that we can say to God, "Handle it, Lord. Handle it, Lord," and he'll handle it. They don't believe that because they're empirical. They're scientific. They have to have empirical proof. And that's just not logical to them. Some invisible spirit that in their minds probably does not exist, or in some of their minds they're sure he doesn't exist. And you come to them saying, "Oh, God did this and that." They say, "Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, right." And you ask, "Do you believe that?" "Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, we believe that." And as soon as you walk out of the room, they have a field day laughing. A field day. "That idiot, that fool." That's what they call us. But my friends, this thing is real. Paul, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I'm talking about perfect principles for imperfect people. This is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church, and you're listening to Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.
You've been faithful, you've been true.